That's how Adam and Eve used to eat. Yeah, I got him into a lot of trouble.
All right.
Yes, I truly like to be able to give you a message that is going to be a help. Something Brother Hiles used to say it like this. He said, I want my messages to be like an old greasy wrench that you can just tighten up what's loose and you can fix what's broken. And the name of my message tonight is How to Get Along with Others. And if we could all get along with others, we would have America back. But unfortunately, it hasn't happened. But if you would turn in your Bible to John 13 and verse 34. John 13, verse 34. I'm going to read it to you. Jesus had just finished the supper with his disciples, and Judas had just left, and I'm on the wrong page here, 1334. And Jesus says to the apostles there, he says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you. And when we love one another, it solves a lot of problems. It was after that time, when Judas had left, that now evil had departed. And Jesus had given the disciples this new commandment, and that we love one another as I have loved you. Not just to love one another and friendship love, but to love one another as I have loved you. In other words, he gave the perfect love. He laid down his life. He was about to lay down his life for them. To get along with others, you've got to love them. And before you can love them, you've got to love God. A lot of people try to love someone and they don't have God in their heart, and it doesn't work. You've got to put God first and love God first before you can love someone else. And what you do is you decide that you're going to love someone. If you're getting married, you decide you're going to love that person. You decide. It's not falling in love. You don't fall in love. You decide to love, but you love God first. And to get along with others, you've got to love them. Now, God loved us first, and we need to love God first. God is love. And 1 John 4:8, one of the first verses I ever learned, because it was short, is God is love. And when you think about that, God is love. He is the perfection of love. God invented love, and he is love. And he's our source of love. when you say you can't love someone, and I've heard some people say, I just can't love that person. Well, I don't think you're filled with the Holy Spirit if you can't love someone. Jesus said not only to love one another, but love your enemies. It's a hard thing to do. But people say to me, you know, you don't get angry, or you don't, you're always kind of calm. Well, the only reason I am that way is because God put that love in me. And I don't know, I guess I've always felt that if somebody was unloved, that I was going to make sure that I loved them. If somebody was in school, when somebody was being picked on and bullied, I would always become that person's friend. And I didn't even know then why I did it, but that's what it is. It's loving one another. And when you say you can't love someone, you can't be filled with the Holy Spirit. You've got to love God first. God will give you that love, and you'll be able to share that love with someone or for someone. And when a couple says that they don't love each other anymore, there's something definitely wrong spiritually. Because you don't fall into love, and you don't fall out of love. You decide the love, and you make a promise, and you keep the promise. Love is the fruit of the Spirit. It shows. When you love someone, or when you love others, it shows in the way you speak and what you do. And hey, listen, nobody is perfect. We're not always going to be, as long as we're on this earth, we're not going to be perfect. But we need to try, we need to make the effort to love one another. Love is the fruit of the Spirit. And Jesus said to love even your enemies. And if you're going to love someone who has wronged you, you've got to forgive them. Or you need to ask for forgiveness if you want someone to love you. But forgiveness comes before, you have to forgive that person before you can love them. So forgiveness comes before you actually can love a person. If that person has wronged you, an enemy, for example, you've got to forgive them. And it's a hard thing to do, but God will give you the grace to do it. We need to kill our pride and kill our anger. And there is a righteous anger. There's no question about it. But I'm talking about an unrighteous anger. And we need to kill fear and revenge. We need to kill it in our lives. You've got to kill those things if you're going to love one another. You can't hate and love at the same time. It's either one or the other. And Jesus gave us the commandment. He said, I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. I've heard people say, I just can't forgive him. And what I say to them is, God forgave you, and you mean to tell me that you can't forgive someone. God forgave you for all of your sins. We have a perfect God. Doesn't make any mistakes. He said, I want you to love one another. David said, and I'm talking about this in the context of the local church, our local church, this church, all of us who are living, breathing members of this body. And David said, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And if you've ever lived through a church split, you'll never ever want to go through it again. Because that is the prime example of not dwelling together in unity. It's the complete opposite. I've been through it. I've been through it two times. And it's a horrible thing. And what it is, it's a lack of love. It's a lack of love for one another. People who cause church splits and just cause dissension in the body of the church are selfish and they're prideful. And it's pride is the word that just comes immediately to my mind. I'm not going to do what you said. Hey, listen, you can disagree, but you don't have to pull down everyone around you because you don't agree with something. I've experienced it. I don't ever want to do it again. There's no love in a person's heart that would want to hinder the fruit of the Spirit that's going on in a local church. There's a list of seven. There's a list of seven abominations that God hates in the book of Proverbs. But the last one, the seventh one, he that soweth discord among the brethren, is something that God hates. And sowing discord among the brethren is someone comes up to you and says, you know what I heard? You know what he said? I want to tell you something. It starts that way. And then it just goes on. It's planting the seed of dissension. Jesus said, love one another. But people forget that. And when you forget it, you become a hypocrite. Because you say you're a Christian and you say you love God, but you don't have the love of God in you. And you can't love one another because you don't really love God. Because if you did, you'd obey him. And I'm not telling you that I've arrived at that point. I'm far from it. But I do realize, and I have seen, and I have experienced that discord being sowed among the brethren. Our church right now is ripe for an attack. Everything is up. Attendance is up. Three buses on the road. Multiple baptisms. New members. Everything is up. But now is the time that you need to be very careful. Not only in prayer, and we always pray that God would protect our church, but I'm not afraid of what's outside of the church, what's outside of this group. I'm afraid of what's in the group. And I'm not singling out anybody or anything, and there's no indication of it to me. But I'm just saying that we're ripe for an attack. And these attacks usually come from within. Not so much from without, but from within. And we just need to be on our guard. And we need to make sure that we love one another. Because if you love one another, there isn't going to be any attack. And if there is one that comes, we'll be able to get through it very quickly. I don't like to be the bearer of bad news. And this isn't bad news. I just don't want to see something happen that could happen because we don't love one another. You prevent it by loving one another. You prepare for it. You make peace with everyone. If we were all at peace with one another, there would never be any dissension from within. I wrote down here Psalm 133. but I didn't write it down. Let me find it here. Psalm 133. By the way, you know what my favorite verse is in the Bible, which is Psalm 119, 162. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Well, when there's no love for one another, people get offended. I can get offended. But it's how you react when you're offended. You brush it off and you just keep going. And you forgive them. And you love them. Because none of us are perfect. So, Psalm 133. I forgot what it was. Okay. Okay, yeah, Psalm 133. That's what I told you before. Behold how good and pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. That means everybody's happy. That means that when there's nobody upset with anybody else, there's no arguments, everybody is working all together. And things get done. Dwelling together in unity. And Ephesians 4:32 says, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. We've got to love one another. We hear it so many times that we forget to do it. You've heard that phrase, that expression, you can't see the forest for the trees. That means you can't see the forest because the trees are in the way, but the trees are the forest. Being a pilot, you don't fix something when you're flying the airplane. When you're up flying and something breaks, you've got to get down to the ground quickly and hopefully safely. So you practice something that's called preventive maintenance. That means fix it before it breaks. Now I've always said, hey, if it's not broken, don't fix it. But if it appears that it's going to break, you need to fix it before it breaks. I don't want to see a break in our church. And if we love one another, we have the assurance that there won't be. God has loved and saved us for His purpose. We're here because God chose us. And we're here for a purpose. And Jesus said, I give you a new commandment. I want you to love one another. Now, we heard Jesus say that he summed up the Ten Commandments in two, that you love the Lord your God with your whole heart, soul, mind, and spirit, and that you love your neighbor as yourself. Love is the expression of one's self towards another person. And the question is, what are you going to do? Are you going to hold a grudge? Are you not going to speak to someone? And you know, the other thing that comes right into play is communications. And I'm not a good communicator. Guys usually aren't. I come back from a job, and Cynthia says, how'd everything go? I said, good. One word. But women are better communicators, so they have no excuse. What are you going to do? Jesus gave us a commandment. He didn't give us a suggestion. He gave us a commandment. We are supposed to obey the commandments, and it's a relatively easy thing to do. Once you get rid of pride and selfishness, love can happen. There are examples that I could give you, but I'm not going to take the time to. I believe I've made the point. Jesus made the point, and all I'm doing is reminding you that we need to obey that commandment. And most of our problems will go away, because you'll be able to deal with problems. Not because you have arrived or I have arrived, but because we love one another as Jesus loved us. And Jesus' love for us is unconditional love. There's no attachments to it. I'm not going to love you just because you have to do this or you have to do that. And if you don't do it, I won't love you anymore. I'm applying it to the church, and it's important, and it's our insurance for the growth and the blessing of this church is to love one another. I couldn't, if I said it 1,000 times tonight, it wouldn't be too much. I'm speaking to all those of us that are saved. We call ourselves Christians. But sometimes we forget who we are and what God has given us and what God expects of us. And we need to remember it. And we need to remember it when times are good and when times are bad. I just want to remind you of that. I needed to hear this as much as anybody else did. Jesus said, love one another. That's what I'm trying to do. I've been trying to do it for a long time. Steve always reminds me. He always tells me. He said, I love you, Joe. See, I'm not a, I love Steve, and I love everyone. I love everyone in here, but I don't tell them. Maybe I do things that shows that I love them, but I do. And maybe that's why I've been here for so long. Because I've seen a lot of people come, and I've seen a lot of people go. And I've seen too many people go because they, as I look back now, they really didn't love one another. Jesus doesn't make any mistakes. When he's making laws, giving commandments, he doesn't make any mistakes. His laws are perfect. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we need the power and the strength of the Holy Spirit. For us to love one another, we need that love. And Lord, you have given us your perfect love. And Father, we want to pass it on. And we want to share it. And Father, we want to be in your will. And we love you, Lord. We love everything that you've done for us, Father. And we're asking you here tonight that we would just make a commitment that we are going to love one another. And we ask it and pray it all in Jesus' precious name. Amen.